to the greatest chapter in the Bible with the greatest verse in the Bible, John 3:16. We're going to be reading from verses 14 to 18 and then verse 36. John chapter 3. Isn't it great to be saved? I know that I say a lot of my songs are my favorite, but that one has become my favorite. Glorious day, great, great. Brother, come and read it for us, please.
Just want to thank those that were baptized this morning for giving us the privilege of seeing your obedience to our Lord. And as we look at John chapter 3, starting in verse 14, could we rise to honor our God? If you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible with you, there's pew Bibles right in front of you. And the scripture we're reading is found on pages 780 and 781. Let's put our eyes on scripture. Have it go through our eye gate to our minds. God had written for us, starting in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. May God honor the preaching of his word this morning. You may be seated.
Amen. Everybody in John 3:16, we're going to stay right there and flow through a couple other passages in our way through it. John 3:16 is the most familiar verse in the Bible. We've seen it at baseball games where they hold up a thing that says John 3:16. We've seen it at football games. This picture here is a Super Bowl. And we've seen it most advertised by Tim Tebow when he wore. Do you know when he wore that? He bought it for everybody, and everybody in the stands had it when they were playing for their national championship. When he wore that and made a big statement at that and putting it on his eyelids there under his eyes, the tweeter went wild with it, made most popular thing on that couple days to realize. The greatest verse, the most popular verse of our day is the gospel. Many people know what John 3:16, just the reference there, but they don't know what it says. But it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, I just want to go through it word by word and I'm going to hit a couple verses. Everybody take your thing out of your bulletin. In your bulletin, I have my sermon notes in the bulletin. I don't want you to fall over or get used to it. Oh, wow. But this is a great thing. My goal, let me tell you why I'm doing this. We have the opportunity to lead hundreds of people to the Lord in 3 weeks. Y'all know that? We have a verse plan that we're going to go through next week, okay? Next week we're going to go through how to lead somebody to Christ, that the Romans Road. We've already talked to Brother Korn. We are correlating everything so that we have a paper that we're giving out to everybody that talks about being saved when they leave the place. They're going to be getting literature. We're printing that all up. But the best thing you can do sometime is to open your Bible to John 3:16 and walk them through it. Spirit. That's what I want you to learn today. And because if you know John 3:16, you can lead somebody to Christ. It's all right here. And it's very, very important. And I just wanted to reiterate it to you here and to let you think about it. At the end of our service, we're going to try to give some time, about 2 or 3 this afternoon, some time so that y'all can talk to one another. It was a joke. That we can interact. What part of John 3:16 moves you the most? What word? Every word is so important. John 3:16. Turn with me in your Bible a couple verses away to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, okay? Be ready to hit that in a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4. The first two words are for God. For God is the greatest being. He exists. He's real. And he's the creator. He's the almighty. Can you just fathom him making the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the planets, and all the solar systems, and the air we breathe, and our bodies, how they function? It's wild. Is that right? Whoa. He's the Almighty, the greatest being for God. Don't ever get over that. It takes God. He was before everything. The verse that's printed there, you can look at it later. It's Isaiah 43:13. It says, before the day was, I am He. How do you explain a self-existent, eternal being? Well, look at everything that He created and realize He is awesome. He is loving. He is beautiful. Isn't it beautiful? We have earth and we have everything, and the changing of the trees and everything is going to be beautiful, and all the summer and all the birds and everything. He must be beautiful. He must be all-powerful. He must be caring. He must be loving. He's the Almighty. He says, I'm God. And it's great to know the God of the universe, the greatest being, the greatest verse with the greatest being, and for God. It's amazing. He has a design, and his design demands a designer, and it's wonderful. And then he whips right into it. So loved. Isn't that a good word? So loved. That's our Ephesians chapter 2. This is the greatest vision, the greatest reason. He so, so loved. You know, there are how many things in this world you so love them? The biggest thing is your family. You so love them. When you see your children, when you see your grandchildren, you so love them. Is that right? You know, they're just regular people, but they're my people. Is that right? I so love them. I don't know what a bit about it, but my grandkids, I just love them. Sometimes they're pretty unlovely, but I still love them. Okay? They act like they're dads, you know. But I still love them. That's God. He's the Almighty. Get Him really big, really powerful. Just look at the sun, moon, the stars, and realize He's bigger. You know, He had His hands around all of that, His little finger. And then He's so, so loved. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at it, everybody. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, he has all the mercy you ever need. For his great love, wherewith he loved who? Me. Is that right? You, us. Catch that, real personal. The Almighty is personable. He so loves, and it's me. Wow. It says, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, unlovely, despicable, has quickened, making us alive. I like this. Us together with Christ, parentheses, for by grace ye are saved. This so love, don't let it become small. God is emotional. God, it is constant. It is concern. It is intense. He's so loved. It's good news. It's all about others. He's so loved. Let it be real in your lives to say, God, this is wonderful that you are there. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, everybody. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. The third thing is the world. Now, he just didn't love people, the world. He just didn't love the dirt and everything. He loves people. He loves this planet. He loves earth. He loves the inhabitants of earth. And, this fallen, God-hating, vicious, cruel, abusive, wicked. He loves us. So love the people of the world, the fallen people of the world, that they hate him. They will fight against him. They will abuse, use him. And this is the ones that he came to love. And we need to realize, for God so loved the world. And it's amazing that he gave this greatest act, that he gave. Catch that. This is something that he is doing. We didn't earn it. He offers it. It's a gift. It's available. There's a problem. There's sin that he gave. He's giving. He's loving. He's caring. This is our God that is doing all of these things. And you realize, wow, this is my God that he gave. He's a giver. All the gods of the world that people worship usually are they're afraid of them. They're mean. They got to gain favor with them. This is a giver. This is a God that gave you and me. He is the greatest act of all. He gave, so undeserving. He offers it freely to us. We got a problem, and he gives a solution. That he gave his only begotten Son. The word begotten there is the one and only. And that is to really move us. If you only have one child, in wars today, if there's only one child, many times they don't let him go. Or if there's two sons or twins, they don't let him go at the same time. It's the only one they have. It's the only one. And God gave the best he had. God gave the only one he had. And God says here, I'm going to give this son here who is perfect, and I'm going to give him the best I have, the only one I have, and he's going to suffer. He's going to be the sacrifice. He's going to die. He's going to pay the debt, take the punishment for all the sins of the world. I love you! Is that what it screams? Oh, wow. That you realize, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. I trust you're there. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. But is now made manifest, made known, available, knowable, by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who hath abolished, done away with death, paid the death penalty for our sins, and brought to life and immortality, wow, to light through the gospel. Jesus, the greatest sacrifice for our sins, paid in full, that he gave his only begotten Son. The Father gave the best he had to save the world. It cost him everything. Think about the cost. When we understand the cost of salvation, his only begotten Son to come from heaven to take on the body, the painful body of the earth, that he was hungry, he was painful, he died. Is that right? The cost of salvation is eternal and it's immense, and it costs God everything. When you understand the cost of your salvation, which was massive, his only begotten Son, God, become flesh and to die, you will be more thankful, huh? You will be more thankful, and you realize, wow. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, isn't that wonderful? Turn to John chapter 20, verse 31. John chapter 20, verse 31. We're going to be there in a minute. That whosoever believeth, that's everyone, everybody, anybody, all. It's accessible. It's a universal invitation. It's the greatest opportunity. You can be saved. You can receive this love. It's for you. It's personal. There's forgiveness. There's declaring you righteous. That whosoever, isn't that wonderful? We need to, I can be saved. Yes, I'm pretty bad. Hey, he died for every sin in the world. Can the worst sinner get saved? Can the person that even thinks they're not so bad get saved? Do all need to get saved? Yes. Anybody, whosoever, it's available. It's there to be received. I've already given it to you. And it's amazing there. And then the word believeth. Believe is the greatest response. The greatest response. John chapter 20, verse 31. Everybody, I trust you're there. John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus, the Savior, is the Christ, the Old Testament Messiah, fulfilling all of the sacrifices. He's the one, the Savior, the Son of God, deity. And that believing, an active believing, ye might have life through his name. That you believe. Believing's a big word. Believing is a huge word, and there is belief here. Let's look at it here. I trust everybody looks at it. I don't want you to write this all down, but I want it to just ooze in you, the every part of it. Believing is a big word. Start reading that. Believing is a big word. So many times we think, well, I believe. What do you really believe in? I've been trying to think, what do I believe in? Who do I believe in? I believe in my wife. Is that right? I really believe in her. I trust her with my life. I eat her food every day. I trust her. I trust her explicitly. I believe in my sons and my daughter. Is that right? I believe in them. Whatever my son would tell me that he needs, would I do everything in my power to answer that? Yes, I believe in him. I believe in y'all. I've been here for 34 years. I've had people outside of our church to condemn one of you. And this has happened a long time ago. And this person did this and this. And I just looked him straight in the face and I said, I know that person. And that person wouldn't do that. Huh? That person wouldn't do that. I don't know where you got your information, but that I believe in that person, and that person wouldn't do that. I believe. Believe is a big word today. The best definition of it, I've given it to you a little bit, is the tightrope man. The tightrope man, you can put the picture up. The tightrope man in the late 1800s, his name was Charles Bondin. He was a Frenchman. In the late 1800s, he was walking a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And I got the real account. You can look it up on the web. And he was doing his tricks, and he was trying to do it a little bit better. He was trying to get somebody to go with him. And he tried. Nobody would do it. He was wanting somebody to get on their backs, and he was going to carry them across, and nobody would do it. And he was in a restaurant, and guys were talking about it. Everybody was talking about it. He's going to take him across, and he says, I believe he could do it. He walked up to the guy, and he says, well, you just said I believe you can do it. He says, get on my back. No. Nobody would get on his back. Nobody believed him enough to get on his back. They could say it. But they wouldn't do it. And he had to pay his manager. That's a real picture. That's a real picture of his manager on his back walking across. And the story says that he only made a few feet and it was shaking so much he took him back. But nobody. I want you to know you can get on Jesus' back and he'll walk you all the way to heaven. See, there, I believe. Well, if you believe, the word believe, I've been told in the Greek and all of that, it has an action to it. It has an obedience to it. It's just not a word that you say, I believe. Tonight's message is a guy who said, I believe. He got baptized. It said he followed. It looked good. But then he says, "Give me, I'll give you money for that." And Peter turned to him and says, you're in the gall of iniquity. You don't have any part of this. You thought that it could be bought? Where's your faith? And this man thought he was a Christian because he prayed the prayer. I want you to know, believing is a big word. I don't think we put enough emphasis. We have a day where we used to believe in our presidents. We used to believe in our leaders. We used to believe in people. Parents, our children used to believe in their parents and they get divorced. You know, our whole world of faith and belief in people has been shattered. Nobody believes in nobody. I want you to know, there's a God in heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. You got to believe. He loved, he gave, he sent his Son, he died, but you got to believe. Believing's a big word. It's just not a prayer you pray. It's not something you do on Sunday. It's just not something you do when your whole world's falling apart. It's deep. It says beliefs are the core of who we are. What we do, who we obey. I like this phrase. Our inner truth convictions. The absolute standards. Absolute. Catch that. That drive every choice and decision. Beliefs will dictate every action, reaction, and attitude. If you believe your faith, the everyday people around you will quickly observe it, or you don't really believe it. What you live for. In parentheses, talk about, think about, dream about, give your time, money, energy to, your goals, accomplishments, successes. What you live for is what you actually believe in. You can say, I believe in Jesus, but if it doesn't show through the week, you don't believe. And that's a big, big word. Are you a committed follower of Jesus? Or are you just a casual fan of him? You know, we have fans. If you are a fan of the Chicago Cubs, it's your year. And if you're a true fan, you've been disappointed for about 100 years. But you're more than a fan. You're a follower. Okay? I'm a Bear fan. Right now they're doing terrible, so I don't even watch it. Amen. You know, I'm not much of a follower. Is that right? I'm not much of a follower. I'm a fan, you know. Man, if I hear about it, I can look at it. But I'm not much of a follower. That's the difference between a fan and a follower. Okay? A follower is with them when they're down. And when it's all, you know, I'm a Cub fan, you know. This first year in 100 years, they've done well, you know. But you're there. You're there. We have some Patriot fans here. Okay. And it's important that we, you know, they're followers. I heard Grandma say when the baby was there, she says, well, this is my daughter here, my granddaughter here, and she's having a baby. And she says, there is a little Patriot fan in that body. And that was her first statement. And I said, whoa. And, you know, she's more than a fan. She's a follower. Jesus wants us to follow him with everything in our being. It's supposed to affect that. That's what the word believe. It's just not, well, I'll try it. I'll pray this prayer. No, it's your life. It's heavy. And I just wanted y'all to read that to realize that the word believe is a big word. Now, it's a simple word too. Do children believe in their parents? And was faith supposed to be simple? It was to be simple, but it is complete. You know, Johnny's on top of the roof, and Dad says, Johnny, jump and I'll catch you. Does Johnny think about it at all? No. he jumps and dad misses him. But he just fully believes in dad. Fully believes in dad. And you're saying, wow. I want you to know faith is simple, but it is complete. And once you have that faith, it helps you in everything. Faith is the key of when you're told where you're dying or where you have cancer or if your child. It was so great to, we have David. Where's David at? Where's David at? David's up there. He had a lawnmower clip his leg on Friday. Was that Friday? I think it was Friday. And it was amazing to, and he's doing well. And we prayed and everything. And praise God. He said this morning, there's no pain. So kick him. Go kick him. What do you do? And you say, praise the Lord. Isn't it great to have faith? I don't like it, but God's with me, so I'm going to trust him. How do you do that? You just do because you believe. Biggest word. Okay, let's move on. In him is a big word. It's who is. He's the greatest Savior, and it's all about him. He's knowable. There's no other Savior. He's the one that gives you the life. He forgives you now and forever. You have life instead of death. You're supposed to die for your sins, but he's the Savior. He in him. He's the one. And then we have the issue of should not perish. Isn't that great? It says should not perish. If you don't trust God, you will perish. And the word perish is a big word. It's not to be totally annihilated. The word perish here is to be absent from God. You will not be totally extinguished. You will just be a person that you'll be in grief and you'll be in sorrow and distress. It's eternal pain. It's eternal misery. It's not annihilation or extinction. Wouldn't it be terrible to be in hell forever and never burn up and just be in pain and suffering forever? See, heaven is with God, rest and peace forever. And hell is forever, never ending. It is eternal suffering. It is eternal misery. It's eternal despair, eternal gloom, eternal sadness, just eternal woe and grief and distress and travail. Huh? That's a big Savior. Should. They don't have to, but they will. Should. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Amen. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Is that pretty heavy? Either you're going to have perish or not have perish. Either Jesus is going to perish for you, take your sin debt, or you're going to perish for your own sin debt. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. We'll close with that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. To perish, shall not perish. Wow. But, is that a good word? I just love this one. One preacher said it's the difference here, the greatest difference. You have eternal life in heaven compared to eternal death in hell. But it's the greatest word. Greatest word here. Have. Put the word have up. But have. It's 1 John 5:13. I trust you're there. But have. It neat just you got it. It's the greatest certainty. And it's yours. And you're assured of it. Your confidence. It's not I think so or I hope so. It's real. You know, you have it. You not only have it, you can eat of it, you know. Person brought in some brownies for a funeral dinner the other day, and the church wasn't open, so they brought it to the house. And they said, be sure that they make it to church. And I said, maybe. you know, they were at my house. And right now, us being diabetics, we don't have things like that at our house. And it was at my house. And I have. And I go, I had to bring it over to church real fast. It was certain. It was right there. You have it. Oh, if we would realize what we have in Christ. Preacher, I'm being tempted. But you have Christ. You know, preacher, I'm about to get mad at this man. I'm going to kill him. You know, no, I have Christ. I have him. I have the strength in me to resist the devil. I have the strength in me to grab a hold of the Lord. I have the power in me to have faith when doubts are all over the place. But I have. Isn't that a great word? But have the certainty of it, the assurance of it, the confidence of it. Oh, man. But have, and the relationship that it gives. Put the picture up. This is a great, one of the greatest pictures, that you and Jesus hugging. Do you know one day that's going to be true? It's going to be true. Jesus and you are going to meet because you have him. You have everlasting life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. It says this. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may, should be put in, continue to believe on the name of the Son of God. You got it. You have eternal life. It's the greatest possession. You have all the riches of heaven. Right now, you have grace, you have forgiveness, you have peace, you have joy. You have it. You have rest. You have happiness. And it's one-on-one with God. It's communion. It's glory. And it's unending. It's eternal life. Man, it's wonderful. Let's say our verse again. John 3:16. Let's all say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want everybody to get a partner, maybe not the one sitting beside you, but get a partner. I want you to discuss, what is the best part of John 3:16? What words bless you the most? Talk. Do it. I'm going to give you a couple minutes here. What words in John 3:16 blesses you the most? Take the time. Talk. John 3:16. What word blesses you the most and why?
together. For God so loved, is that right? The world, people, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, big word, in him should not perish. Isn't that great? But have. I love that word. That's a Christian. I love that word. I have it. Sometimes I don't feel like I have it. I don't act like I have it. I don't think like I have it. But I got it. Huh? I got it. Everlasting life, joy and peace, tranquility, help, comfort. Wow. Do you believe? Put the next slide up. It's important that we believe. I can't say that enough, to believe. To believe. If you're here this morning and you've never really believed, you just played with it. You just, you're a teenager, you're a child, you're an adult, and you really haven't fallen in love with Jesus. You really haven't committed your life to him. And he's come in and changed your life. You're not perfect by no means, but you believe. You think about him. You try to obey him. You work at following him. You work at him being the joy of your life. You try to have victory in him. You let him comfort you. You have faith. Oh, you struggle. Yes, you struggle. But deep down in, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Preacher, I'm not sure. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. Preacher, I'm not sure. Not sure. You've been talking about the greatest verse, the greatest salvation. Man, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anyone here? Child, teenager, adult, older. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray with you? I will not embarrass you. I just pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I want to really believe. I just don't want to play games. I want. It's a relationship, not religion. It's believing. Anyone? I pray for you. I pray for you. Amen. Children raising their hand. Talk to your children. Talk to your children. Believe. Take this paper home. Walk your way through it, because if you use that, you can lead somebody to Christ. That'd be great to use to lead people to Christ during our corn outreach. If you like John 3:16, use that for leading people to Christ. Great verse.